Well, last week we heard the story of Jesus' preaching appearance in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. And as we pick up the story today, Jesus has just finished reading Isaiah's prophecy, telling of the year of the Lord's favor. That is the Jubilee year. A Jubilee time is when restoration happens, when those who are hurting and hopeless receive what they need. Jesus concludes by saying, "The year of Jubilee is happening right now." Well, apparently Jesus is quite eloquent. The people are as pleased and as proud as they can be. Murmurs of approval ripple through the congregation. "Why, isn't that Joseph's boy? I've known him since he was just a little tyke. He left us about a year ago, and look at him now. Where did he learn to read with such authority?" But Jesus does not bask. He doesn't let himself bask in the glow of the hometown admiration. He pushes the issue. He gets in their face. He provokes them. He provokes them with this: "No doubt you'll quote me the old proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' And you'll probably want me to do here what you've heard I've been doing in Capernaum, that land so full of Gentiles." Well, guess what? No prophet is accepted in his hometown. And he then proceeds to give them examples. When the famous prophets Elijah and Elisha did miracles, they didn't necessarily go only to the people of Israel. During hard times, Elijah went to the widow in Sidon, and Elisha healed a leper in Syria. The signs and wonders happened for Israel's enemies. So there, you can almost hear him say. In other words, he's saying that this is what is at the heart of the Jubilee year. God loves and cares for all people and has a special concern for outsiders. And Jesus says it starts now. He says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This year of the Jubilee brings sweeping changes, changes not so comfortable for those who benefit from the status quo. Mary sang about it in her beautiful Magnificat, that song that she sang when she learned she would give birth to Jesus. Her words speak of a world turned upside down. In order to raise the lowly, God will bring down the powerful. And in order to feed the poor, the rich will be sent away empty. So here's the deal. During the Jubilee year, those who may have accumulated more than their share will need to give back to those who don't have enough. And not only that, says Jesus, this Jubilee isn't just for our Jewish friends and neighbors. God's favor extends to those we consider outsiders. Well, the congregation begins to murmur again. God favors Syria, not Israel? Jesus heals in Capernaum, not Nazareth? How dare he say such a thing? That's not what we believe Scripture says to us. And this is when things turn ugly very quickly. The crowd is filled with rage and runs Jesus out of town. They're about to throw him off a cliff, but somehow he escapes. Wow. Let's back up and see where Jesus made his big rhetorical mistake. Jesus does the one thing a preacher is never supposed to do, even to strangers, let alone to friends and neighbors. He tells them the truth. He tells them the truth about their pettiness and prejudice, their fear and their shame, their willingness, even eagerness to get ahead at any cost. Well, we know what happens to truth tellers. Rejection. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we get a huge hint as to how things will turn out for him in the end. He escapes the wrath of the hometown crowd, but rejection will catch up with him later. Some will listen and follow him, but others will kind of stand back and observe and be even more offended and get even more angry. And Jesus will end up on a cross between two criminals, two outsiders. So the question for us today is, do you think Jesus' Jubilee sermon would go over any better today? I doubt it. Think about what he might say to us about insiders and outsiders. He would remind us that God's favor is loose and unruly, that God doesn't check with us first to see who we think deserves healing and grace. As one theologian puts it, God's grace escapes from human boundaries, those marked by brick walls and stained glass, those made of words, those drawn on maps or stamped on passports. Maybe this should not surprise us. God has operated this way for a long time. So today, for example, when we look at those Syrian refugees with suspicion, simply because they are from a country with known terrorists, Jesus reminds us, I think, that God loves and heals even strangers and foreigners. That hits pretty close to home, doesn't it? Jesus' message, no matter when and where it is spoken, still offends. Sometimes it even offends us. Well, so now that Jesus' words have revealed the truth that we've got just as much fear and shame and prejudice as did the folks in Nazareth, what are we to do? Well, we best keep our eyes focused on Jesus, because in the end, his truth frees us from our sins. Of all God's messengers who came and told the truth only to be rejected, beaten, and killed, Jesus is the only one God raised from the dead. This Jesus not only reveals the truth about us, but also reveals the truth about God. And it is this: God loves us so deeply that God takes on our humanity. God becomes one of us in Jesus, even to the point of total rejection, suffering, and death. And God's love is so relentless that Jesus is raised to new life and brings to us a word of forgiveness and grace. This God loves all God's children passionately, and that includes you and me. You see, when Jesus tells us the truth about ourselves, we have to give up the pretense, surrender every claim of having it all together, to be perfect, to be making it all on our own. In a word, when Jesus tells us the truth about ourselves, we have to die. But when Jesus goes on to show us the truth about God, then we come alive again. We come alive in the spirit of a God who not only knows everything about us, but loves us anyway. And we come alive when we come alive in the truth of God who loves us so much that Jesus will go to any length to redeem us from all the pettiness, shame, and fear that seem to control our lives. So now what? Now that we know the truth about ourselves and the truth of God's amazing grace, how do we respond? Well, here's an idea. How about we respond with gratitude? How about we respond with gratitude and let our thanks to God take the form of action? How about we proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? How about we receive Jesus' deep challenge to leave behind our fears and remember that it's not all about us? Instead, it is all about being servants who share God's healing light and hope. So take a look around you. The people who surround you are all touched by God's grace and truth. All of you are forgiven. All of you carry the light of Christ into your daily lives. God's promises are true. And the time of God's favor that Jesus announced back in that synagogue in Nazareth, the time of God's favor is still being fulfilled in our hearing, even now as we worship together. The Jubilee is still being fulfilled as we go from this place to serve a world in need of hope. For God's grace and favor abound in our acts of welcome and generosity. And that, dear brothers and sisters, is the truth. Amen.